Thank you so much for joining us, Matthew.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. Now, first things first, what did the research find and how exactly did it differ from what was previously believed?
Right. So as you mentioned in the little intro there, a lot of people have been eating less or intermittent fasting or mild diet restriction or whatever you want to call it for the purpose of living longer. And this has been known to be effective across a wide range of animals for about 85 years now we've known this. What we've always thought is that the restriction part is important. The periods of fasting are what's critical. We've been working on the nutritional components of the diet that are important in an attempt to try and just modify the diet rather than causing these, having to enter into these restricted diets, which can be quite severe. And we're focused a lot on nutrient balance for that. And in doing so, we've realized that actually it's not so much about how much the animals eat as much as the balance of nutrients they eat. And more recently, there's been a lot of focus on the macronutrients. These are the larger components of the diet, like protein and carbohydrate and fat. We actually found that one of the micronutrients is key. The work that we do, we work on flies in the lab, Drosophila, the fruit fly. And we do this because they live short. We're not terribly interested in making flies live longer, but we hope we can learn something about their nutrition that can inform us about human and animal nutrition to make us healthier and longer as well. And this particular component, this micronutrient, it's called sterol, or it's cholesterol for flies. And if we add a little bit more to their high food diet, their nutrient-rich diet, they actually live equally as long as those that were diet-restricted. And so this tells us that it's not actually the restriction that's important for them to live longer. It's that they're eating a little bit too much of an imbalanced diet. And by supplying them back with some of their micronutrients, we actually made them live longer at the same time as them eating as much as they wanted.
Yeah, right. And I mean, like, I think we can all agree that a fruit fly's lifespan is just fine. It's just a fine amount of time.
Exactly.
But as you mentioned, this study was conducted on fruit flies. So how exactly do you think it could still be applied to human biology?
Right. So I think the key is in how this is working, which is something now we're working on in the lab. What we think happens is that when the flies or the mice or any animal eats high amounts of nutrients, what it does is it triggers the processes that are associated with early life, things like growth and reproduction. And these are fine when you're young or you're reproducing, but they're not so good for you when you're older, such as in late life. Now, if those processes are triggered and the diet that supports those processes is not adequately balanced, we think that that's what imposes the long-term cost. And so by rebalancing that diet so that it's better to support those early life processes, it also becomes better to support the lifelong health of the individual. So really it's about rebalancing the diet, supplementing with the micronutrients, vitamins and minerals and so on that we know we need, but doing so adequately that it's both supporting early life health and also not creating a cost for later life health.
Right. So what exactly does a discovery like this mean for the future of human dieting? Because, you know, dieting is such like a kind of big thing forever, really.
It is. Yeah, and I guess we'll never get away from certain aspects of the diet that are appealing to us independently of health, such as weight loss, that may just be for cosmetic purposes. And so that'll continue, no doubt. But I think what it tells us is something important about the higher food diets, that as long as we're not massively overeating in terms of there still is a lifespan cost to being morbidly obese and having and being overweight to an extent that induces metabolic syndrome. But there may be a range of weights which are actually sort of healthy overweight, if you like, that can be maintained in a healthy state by ensuring that the diet contains a full balance of minerals and vitamins.
Right. So last but certainly not least, where to from here in terms of research? Like, what is the next step?
Yeah, we're now particularly interested in how exactly these imbalanced diets cause a cost in late life for the animals. Because if we can find out how, we can then look for similar processes that occur in other animals. And we're interested, for instance, in how the different organs of the fly decline over time and whether the order in which they decline can tell us something about the causes of death. And so we're now interested in how diet actually causes death in the longer term.
Yeah, right. Well, Matt, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. It's been a really interesting chat.
Great. Thanks for the opportunity.
My absolute pleasure.